Armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
try
any
to save
idea?
The pump. Really, this
do
is what
you
you're doing?
Have any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on YouTube.com/ at Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. If you watched the NIT last night, that officiating is as bad as we've seen in any game.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I am Mac McGee, and I am doing fine. We are one day away from opening day, and you got to be excited about that as the Atlanta Braves are marching towards opening day, heading to Washington, D.C., and that game gets going 1:05 Eastern right here. First pitch, 1:05. We'll have the early pregame show come on Braves Country HD. If you want to catch that, Braves Country HD, it'll be on at about 12:30. And then we'll roll right into opening day. And it looks like we're going to get good weather. It looks like it's going to be Max Fried versus Patrick Corbin. A couple of lefties, veteran lefties going at it. And a way to get going here. We're still waiting for the official word on some of the moves that are going to be made for the Braves, and they tend to do it last minute. And from what I can remember, I don't think it even has to be in. Your official roster has to be in until tomorrow. It's either 4 or 6 hours. I believe it's 4 in the early games, 4 to 6 hours before the season starts. Now, most will start trickling in tonight. But a lot of teams, and the Braves have been known to do this, a lot of teams wait until the last dog is dead, because what they're doing is they're waiting to see if anyone gets DFA that they may have an interest in from another team. And then, of course, you know, something goofy happens. Some guy stubs his toe in the hotel room and he can't play, you know, anything goofy like that. So you're waiting to do that so you're not wasting a move. So it's understandable, but folks are chomping at the bit. Everyone's wanting to know what the final roster is going to look like. I can give you an indication what I think it may be and what it appears to be as we march closer and closer to that announcement. I keep checking Twitter and whatnot to see if anything has been announced on those moves, but I have not seen anything official yet, so I haven't seen anything brand new in a minute on that. Not since the couple of moves that happened a couple of days ago when they made it official and they sent Kyle Wright down to the minors, and it's going to be Jared Schuster. And the interesting thing that I didn't realize this until I was either late last night or early this morning, I was looking at it. They have made the announcement now that Schuster is going to be the number 3 pitcher in that Washington series. They're going to have Max tomorrow. Saturday, It's going to be Strider. Sunday, it's going to be Schuster. And then you're going to get Charlie Morton splitting up the rookies. So I kind of get it why you don't want the rookies going back-to-back, especially when you're talking about starting a series against the St. Louis Cardinals and you would have the two rookies going back-to-back. That could be tough. That could be really tough. So Schuster's going to get an opportunity to make his major league debut in Washington, D.C., 1:30 on Sunday. Now, the interesting thing about this, if you look from the personal standpoint, if you're sitting there saying, well, why did they put Schuster at 3 and they put Dodd at 5, et cetera, et cetera? Does that mean they like one over the other? Not necessarily. When a kid makes his debut, of course, family wants to come. Family wants the support that can. Schuster played at Wake Forest, not too far away from Washington, D.C., but he's from Massachusetts. Okay. The other thing that's involved in this is that Dodd is from a little town in Illinois, and it's not too far from St. Louis, Missouri, where he will be making his major league debut. And that would be, I believe, Tuesday night. Tuesday night, because the Braves will play Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Then there is a Monday night game. There is no travel day in St. Louis. Then we go Tuesday night, and that should be Dodd, and that should be his Major League Baseball debut. And we will have that call right here on Braves Country HD. And then Wednesday, we'll have that game as well, 1:15. That should be Max Fried once again. And then the Braves are not getting a day off at all next week. It's a little strange. You normally get one, but they're going to be home four-game series. I'm sure everyone in the Atlanta area is excited about this. Thursday night baseball, it's going to be opening day. And Friday night, of course, that's the Apple Plus game. We will have the call here. So fret not, you will be able to follow the game here on Braves Country HD. And they're going to play the Padres all weekend long, and I believe they're all night. Yes, they are all night games, even the Saturday game. But we're going to bring – normally we bring the Saturday afternoon game to you, but because there's a Saturday night and a Sunday night, we're going to do the Sunday night game because it's so difficult for everyone to get that game. So we're doing the Sunday night game. So there you have the first week or so of Braves Country Baseball. And looking forward to it, excited about it. Now, as far as the team's outlook, as far as what we think their opening day roster will be, we already just went through the five starters. Wright's going to be on the IL, and Dodd will be the number five guy, right? Iglesias, remember, if you haven't kept up with this, Raziel Iglesias, he is heading to the IL. So they are bringing back up Nick Anderson. So if you go to look at the depth chart right now, like on ESPN and whatnot, it's not reflecting because they have not put Iglesias on the IL yet. But Nick Anderson is going to be on the squad. What we're looking at right now is we're going to have three lefties in the bullpen. It's going to be Minter, which I believe is going to get the closing role and most of the closes, most of the save opportunities. Now, obviously, if you get a chance to go back to back to back, you're not going to wear them out. You'll probably throw a Nick Anderson possibly in there because he closed quite a bit in Tampa in his days there. You've got a couple of other options. You've got Jimenez. But as far as the lefties, we'll have Minter. We'll have Dylan Lee. Played really well. He's pitched really well, so you never know how they're going to deploy him. He has pitched really well, and of course he has a lot of experience in the high leverage situations. And then Lucas Litke coming over from the Yankees in the trade, he is the third lefty expected. So you'll have three lefties in the pen, and then you'll have five righties. With Iglesias on the IL, you're going to have Anderson. It looks like Kirby Yates is going to make it. It looks like Kirby Yates is going to be there. Colin McHugh, of course, Jimenez. You fully expect to see him. So Anderson, Yates, Jimenez, Colin McHugh. And then the fifth one, they're going to kind of look at it. I've gone back and forth in my head on who I think they're going to end up hitting with that. It could be Tonkin. There's been talk about it being Tonkin. But that remains to be seen. So usually three lefties in a bullpen is more than enough. It's a pretty loaded. Remember, they've got other moves they have to make as well. Remember, Oscar Ynoa, who had surgery in the offseason, he's not available. They got to put him on the IL. As far as I'm seeing right here, it's not being shown that he's hit the IL yet, so they got to put him on. Of course, you got Tyler Matzek. He's got to go to the IL. So there's a lot of moves to be made to make room on the 40-man roster as well. So it's not, you're not just looking at the 26-man roster if you're a Braves fan. Start thinking big picture. Start looking at who the 40-man, because the big difference for folks who may not be familiar with it, the 40-man roster means that you can bring the guy up and bring him down and put him on the 26-man roster up and down as long as he has moves, options as they call it, left. You can bring them up and down. So there's a lot of strategy there. If you have to move a guy off your 40-man to make room for a 40-man, he at that point has to go through waivers. So there's a lot of strategy with that as well. And if you're left off the 40-man, that means you're waiting a hot minute for something to happen to be put on the 40-man, because they can't just bring you back up without kicking someone else off. Unless there's an injury, and there's an injury, there's a slot to do that. The rest of it looks like, for all intents and purposes, that they're going to do two catchers with Darnold and Murphy. That's usually more than enough. Trump, I would expect, is going to be on the 40-man roster. I don't see how he's not. And because you want that flexibility to be able to go grab him if he needs to come on and play a few games, play a few weeks. If someone's gets injured, or it could be a situation where you don't get one of your catchers injured, but you get someone else injured, or they're not performing, and you figure, hey, let's give some of these guys a break behind the plate. The infield, we know it's going to be around the horn. It'll be Riley to Arcia to Albies to Olson. On the bench, what it's looking like is that we're going to end up with Inciarte. I'm sorry, not Adrianza. Sorry, someone named their fantasy baseball team last night Inciarte, and that's on my head. But Adrianza will be a utility guy. And, of course, he can play all over the place. So that's, seven of your guys? You can carry 13. You're going to have three outfielders, obviously, with Rosario and Harris and Acuna. And I believe Rosario is going to get more of a starting role than he is a platoon like it looked at the beginning of the spring. It's not to say that Ozuna won't get in there and play left field, because he will. And he has looked better. I will say that. He's looked better. He's not anywhere close to being elite. We're not going to put him up for any kind of awards. But he's not as much of a liability as he's looked. Now, there's been a couple of plays where you go, up, it's the same old Ozuna. But it is what it is at this point. So those are your four mainstays in the outfield. And I believe Pilar is definitely going to make the team. And then you're looking at Sam Hilliard. Sam Hilliard can kind of play. He can play all over the outfield. He can also play first base, which is a big deal. They're leaving him on so that you've got some ability to give Matt Olson a breather from time to time. And so that's where we're at. Pilar is going to straight up be a guy that's going to play on like a day game after a night game type of deal. Or he's going to be a guy that'll be in there for base running. He's a good base runner. The guy that I'm most disappointed that's not going to make the team is Eli White, because he is phenomenal. and he has just been so darn good. But he had moves, he had options, and so we end up not seeing him, but he will be back at some point. Barring injury, he's going to be back. You'll probably see some Jordan Luplo as well. He had options. So that's what the Braves 2023 opening day roster should look like. This is assuming that someone doesn't get DFA'd that Anthopoulos and company really have their eye on, and there's still that possibility. I've seen some of the guys released already. I don't think anyone jumps off the page at anybody. I know before anyone even starts it, I know where they're going to go with this because I've already gotten like four or five inboxes in the last, 12 hours over this? Stop it with the Christian Pache. I get it. He got DFA'd. He's eligible to get picked up. But if he couldn't make the Oakland Athletics Association, if you couldn't make the Oakland Athletics roster, a team that is in a full rebuild mode, and he played the majority of the year last year up until about, we'll say about two-thirds into the season, and then they finally had to start giving him rest because they're like, this guy's not getting it. But go look at his numbers. It's awful. And I'm not giving up on Pache yet. I don't think necessarily that Pache is a guy that you're going to never see again. Because, look, the talent is there. He can definitely play the field. And he's fast. For whatever reason, he's not picking up on the base running, which is a little strange. With the speed that he has, I think he needs a base running coach to really get in there and figure out why he has so many few steals in his opportunity. But he's just not hitting the ball. His OPS, I think it's like around 400. You understand that 400 OPS is like pitcher-type hitting? I know pitchers don't hit anymore. But when the pitcher used to hit, that's what a Pache hit was been. I mean, he's a guy that if you pick him up, you start thinking about letting your pitcher hit and have Pache be DH for. So it's not an option for a Braves team that is going for it. This team is going for it. It's World Series or bust. That's the mentality that the Braves have. That's the mentality that they should have. So Pache is not an option, but there are some options out there that could be really interesting. There's some rumors that I've heard. I haven't seen them released yet, but there's some rumors that I've heard that could actually fit a need, but it's going to have to be a perfect spot. It's going to have to be a guy that in a perfect world, you would love to see a guy come off the trash heap that's can play multiple positions, because then it really gives you the ability. And then maybe you do something like you see if a Hilliard or a Pilar can make it through the waiver system. Probably wouldn't happen. So you have to, at that point, you have to decide, well, are you okay losing him? All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, it's prediction day. And we're going to start it off right, talking about East Coast, baby, American League. We're going to let you know who's going to win everything today. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD, wherever you stream.
Work is work. You don't show up late, you don't make excuses, and you don't not work. If it wasn't work, they wouldn't call it work. They call it super wonderful crazy fun time or skippity-doo.
It all starts with just one thing. Get to know your local beekeeper. You can make sure they don't use chemicals in the hive, that they only sell surplus honey, plus locally produced honeys have a smaller carbon footprint. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
The Armchair Quarterbacks are covering America's pastime from spring training all the way to the fall classic.
5-2 Dodgers in the ninth. Got him. They've done it. Like the 1969 Mets. It's the impossible dream revisited.
And Myers bringing it. And the pitch is hit in the air. Foul. Off first. Benzinger backing and calling. And the 1990 World Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds.
The Twins are going to win the World Series. The Twins have won it. It's a base hit. It's a 1-0 10-inning victory.
Left field, way back. Blue Jays win it. The Blue Jays are World Series champions.
as Joe Carter hits a three-run home run in the ninth inning, and the Blue Jays have repeated as World Series champions. Touch a ball, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
Armchair.
Hey, sports.
Thursday, March 30th, it's opening day in Braves country. The Atlanta Braves travel to the Washington Nationals. First pitch, 1:05 Eastern. We'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves all season long, and it begins opening day. Make sure to tune in right here, Thursday, March 30th, 1:05 Eastern, opening day in Braves country on Braves Country HD.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Now, we'll all calm down.
Boss, he's just a little excited.
I know. I'm going to use good judgment. I haven't lost my temper in 40 years. But, Pilgrim, you caused a lot of trouble this morning. Might have got somebody killed. And somebody ought to belt you in the mouth. But I won't. I won't. The hell I will.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American Man.
Welcome back, and it is 2023 Prediction Day here on Braves Country. Going to take you all the way through the entire Major League Baseball, the division winners, who we think we're going to win the big awards, the ALCS, the NLCS, and then I'll give you my World Series prediction as well. We're going to start in the American League. We're going to start with the American League East, as, of course, folks are going to be. Look, I know a lot of people are going to try to tell you in Braves country that the National League East is the best division in baseball. And look, it's right there. It's just below the AL East, but the AL East is an absolute gauntlet. And what I have on the screen here, if you're watching on Braves Country HD on YouTube, is last year's divisional standings. And I'm going to do this with all the teams, so you kind of get an idea of what's going on with all the teams and then what they did in the offseason, that kind of thing. And then I'll give you my reasonings for, you know, why I think all these teams are going to finish the way they will. The first team that we'll start off with is, I guess I'll go from bottom to top, but there's not going to be a lot of drum rolls. I'm going to get to the point. Boston, I still think, did not do enough in a 162-game schedule to be able to improve from the cellar. And it's disappointing if you're a Red Sox fan, you grew up a Red Sox fan your whole life, and they've always been contenders. And then for whatever reason, and I don't understand it, and look, the Sarge is on the show every Monday, and we talk about this because he's a big AL East guy. He's a Red Sox guy. And it's a little dumbfounding to him and the fan base that moves weren't made. You're not going to convince the Red Sox fan that the money isn't there. So something's being done to prevent – something's being done up top to prevent this front office from being able to go out and spend in a big way. Now, look, we get it. Boston did go out and they did get Masataka Yoshida. And I do think that he's going to be a very good player. But outside of that, nothing really jumps out at you. Yes, they signed Adam Duvall, and we all love Adam Duvall here in Braves country. But let's be honest, he's a solid player that's going to play well, but he's not a guy that's going to move the needle in the fan base. They went and they grabbed Alex Verdugo. I actually thought that was wasteful spending because I don't think Verdugo is nearly as good as the contract that he signed for. I think he's a contact hitter, and in today's game, I'm not paying top dollar for a contact hitter. He does have some pop, but Verdugo to me, 15 home runs is what I'm thinking. Maybe he can squeeze out 20 because of the field that he's going to be playing in, but that's not a guy that I want to go out there and throw 20 a year at. They did bring in Justin Turner, so they're bringing pieces in that it'll make Boston a competitive team. So, and if you're in the cellar in the AL East, that doesn't mean that you're going to win 60 games. I still think last year they won 78. They might even improve on that. They might even get to 80, 82, but that may not be good enough to get you out of the cellar. So that's where I have the Red Sox. The biggest key to me for the Red Sox, there's two huge keys. Chris Sale, what do you get out of him? Because if he gets back to the form that he once was, that's asking a lot at this age now. But if he gets close to it, if he's the shadow of his former self, he could make a huge difference in that rotation. And then, of course, Masataka Yoshida, what are you going to get out of him? What are you going to get out of Yoshida? If he ends up being that big-time table setter at the top of the lineup, you could be looking at an offense and a pitching staff with a healthy Sale. And remember, they did add Kenley Jansen. And all those were solid moves. But what's driving the Red Sox fan crazy is there wasn't that big splash in the offseason that you kind of expected from a team that had nothing going into this year. Other than locking up Rafael Devers long-term, but that doesn't even go into effect till next year. So there wasn't that big splash that they expected. And look, they lost Xander Bogaerts. That's a big stick to lose out of your lineup. So that's why I have the Red Sox where I have them, and I don't think there's much of a chance that they maybe fourth, but that's about their ceiling unless something just absolutely phenomenal happens. So we go on from there, and the next team that I have on the docket, and this is going to surprise some people, I have the Toronto Blue Jays finishing fourth. And I know folks are in love with the Blue Jays. I mean, we've had several guys on the show here that have them going to the World Series, and I get it. But once again, finishing fourth in the AL East doesn't mean that you're on the trash heap. It just means you didn't quite have enough. And I've got big questions about that starting rotation. Alek Manoah was not the shutdown guy that he was when he first came on. He's still solid. I think Chris Bassitt is overrated. And Jose Berrios has absolutely fallen off the cliff. We were talking about it last night during the draft. It's dumbfounding. They do have Romano, but in the back of the bullpen. But outside of that, I don't think they got much better in their bullpen top to bottom. So that's an issue. And so though they may be able to score runs, and I do like the addition of Varsho, and I really think that Whit Merrifield is going to be a good addition at the bottom of that lineup. And Vlad should come back and hit much better. But this is not an offense that I think is going to be able to combat the pitching, the lack of pitching, starting pitching. The two biggest keys for Toronto to me, Vlad Jr.'s got to get to MVP caliber again this year. And that starting pitching staff has got to be that five deep that they appear to be in theory on paper if you're looking at it like MLB The Show. But really, I think that their starting pitching rotation is about 2.5 deep, and that's a big-time problem. So there you have that. My number three team in the American League, and this is a little bit of a surpriser team. You'll hear me talk about them all year long. I really do think that the Baltimore Orioles, when I say for real, I don't mean they're going to bring home the world championship, but I think they're going to be a real-time contender. I saw a Baltimore Oriole team last summer that was making big time strides. And they did minor things in the offseason to improve. And they're a young team who's only going to get just a little bit better. And that's really all you need for Baltimore to be able to make the playoffs. They had 83 wins last year. 83 wins. That was just outside the wild card. This year, I think they're going to get up a little higher. I think, look, if I'm taking Toronto back to the fourth spot, then that means I've got Baltimore getting some of those W's, and I think Baltimore can get into the mid to late 80s in the win total. They've got a solid pitching rotation, and Grayson Rodriguez will be back. I know that they sent him down, but he will be back. But their pitching top to bottom is good. It's not great, but it's pretty good. Kyle Gibson, Kramer, they brought in Cole Irvin. And then Kyle Bradish has, to me, the ability to be higher than a number four starter. They've got a good closer in Bautista. And then they've got all the young kids. They've got all the young kids that everybody is excited for. And you've got the Santander, Mullins, Hayes, they're going to rake in the outfield. Gunnar Henderson, he should be a great prospect at third base. This offense, Mountcastle, this offense is going to bang. What's the question I have here? Can the Mets win on Thursday? Oh, I think the Mets probably do win on Thursday. I do. Look, I get it. They're going up against Sandy Alcantara. And we'll talk more about the NL here in a minute, but they're the favorite. I want to say they're a minus 125, minus 130 on the money line, the Mets are, even though it's on the road. I think the Mets, they do have Scherzer going to the mound. So Scherzer versus, remember something about opening day and really opening week. Your starters don't go very deep. So you can't expect Sandy Alcantara to go out there and pitch eight innings. Because if his arm falls off, they're going to blame the manager. So, you're looking at five, maybe six. I think you're going to get a low-scoring game to start, and then we'll just see how the bullpen rolls out. But I've got Baltimore finishing number three in the division, which means I got Tampa Bay finishing number two. Glasnow will be back eventually. If Glasnow hadn't started off in the aisle, I'd probably have Tampa winning the division. But that's a little concerning. But Springs and Rasmussen and what they'll get out of Zach Eflin, I think they're going to be very creative with Eflin as the number five. I think he's almost going to be like Ryan Yarbrough 2.0 for the Rays. He's going to be very, very good. And that offense is going to be good enough to put up runs like the Tampa Bay Rays know how to do. They will work that bullpen. Fairbanks is back. On the days that they don't want to put him back-to-back, Adam is a very good secondary choice. So I've got Tampa Bay finishing number two. And of course, that means the New York Yankees in first place. And I tried to look everywhere to see how in the world I could have the New York Yankees not win the division. I did the same thing with a couple of teams. Well, what could happen? And it's not logical. The Rodon injury is not a long-term injury. So he's supposed to be back. And if he's supposed to be back, and you got Gerrit Cole, you got Nestor Cortes, Luis Severino being banged up is a little concerning, but Clark Schmidt has looked really good in the spring. That bullpen is solid top to bottom. And we know the Yankees are going to score. Anthony Volpe is going to be a very good choice to come up early. And I'll go ahead and give you my Rookie of the Year candidate. It's Anthony Volpe. I think he's going to be in a lineup that's going to give him the opportunity to score runs, get RBIs. And if he can play solid shortstop, which he does, in New York, that's going to get him a lot of votes. So Anthony Volpe is going to be my guy for the rookie, or the American League Rookie of the Year. We go over to the AL Central now. I'm going east to west. And at the bottom of the barrel, I'm sorry, but the Kansas City Royals and the Detroit Tigers, I think they are light years away from what everybody else is doing in the division. And so the big question is, who do you have number one? Who do you have number two? I don't really see a difference in the two, to be perfectly honest with you. Because you're going to, as I scroll this down so everyone can see. So you see the win total from last year, right? And there's not that big of a difference. What was it? It was one win, one loss difference between Detroit and Kansas City. When you're winning in the mid-60s, does it really matter if you finish in last place or not? This year, I think they're going to flip-flop. I think Detroit will take last place in Kansas City, who's just a little better top to bottom. Now, the one thing that's interesting that I did not expect to factor in as I've been building up to this day, Eduardo Rodriguez has looked really good in the spring. And if he gets back to the way he was when he pitched with the Red Sox, that could be a change of pace for, honestly, a Detroit Tiger team that's pitching staff is just in shambles. But I think it's a lot to ask that Erod's going to go out there and do anything but put himself in the opportunity to get in an all-star game. But that doesn't mean that his team's going to do any well. So I've got Erod and the Tigers finishing last. If there's one name, or actually two names, if you're watching a Tigers game you want to keep an eye on, Spencer Torkelson, the first baseman, Riley Green. Two really good young players. And, of course, everybody loves Miguel Cabrera. When you look at Kansas City, their starting pitching is just a little better. Brady Singer is solid. Zach Greinke is back. We all know that he's going to eat innings. Jordan Lyles, he's serviceable, just like Brad Keller. So their pitching staff's just a little better. I don't have a great deal of hope for their bullpen. We were joking about this last night, though. If a brawl breaks out, Amir Garrett and Aroldis Chapman are in the same bullpen. That could get slap ugly for whoever the Royals are bouncing around off the turf. And they're going to score runs. Salvador Perez played very well, this spring, Vinny Pascantino, a lot of folks are big on him. I'm still jury out kind of guy with him. I haven't watched him play enough. Bobby Witt Jr., we're waiting for him to take that next step. And MJ Melendez is just he's a natural hitter. So the Royals are going to put a lot of runs on the board. The problem is they're not going to be able to stop you from keeping a lot of runs off the board. My number three team in the Central, and this might rub some feathers wrong way, the Chicago White Sox, I don't think got much better. And the White Sox, they won 81 games last year. I think that's about where I'd put them this year. Maybe 82, 84, somewhere at best case scenario. But I don't think the White Sox are going to be this dominant team just because they got rid of La Russa. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's going to be the big difference in that clubhouse, and he's going to be able to relate to the players, and I know he's going to be more analytic-driven. They've already talked about that. So maybe – and look, I do like, in theory, their starting rotation. Cease is phenomenal. Lynn is solid. Giolito, we're not quite sure because he's been so up and down. Kepik's been pounded in the spring, by the way. They may need to put him back in the bullpen. And Clevinger – we'll see what happens with him because he's going to have to deal with a lot of bad media. But the bullpen with no Liam Hendricks, that's a big problem. The bullpen is going to be an ongoing battle of solutions all summer long. And I just don't think their offense is that phenomenal. Luis Robert is great. Eloy Jimenez has the kind of talent that should make him all world one day. But when you get past that, Andrew Vaughn's never been consistent. Yasmani Grandal has seen better days. I'm just not a big fan of what they're doing there. And I think it could be, I could see a scenario where they put it all together and really make a run, but I really think this team's middle of the pack of the Central. I really do. All right. So who's two and who's one in my book? And I'll put all these in the chat during the breaks. I can't do it and navigate everything all at once. It'll throw me off. So my number two team in the American League Central is going to be your division winner from last year. I think Cleveland's going to take a step back. Tristan McKenzie's supposed to be out for quite a bit of time. That's a problem. Quantrill, Savale, and Plesac, they have all been good at times, and they've all struggled at times. So all the pressure is going to come on Shane Bieber and Emmanuel Clase to try to lock in every single W that they get a chance to do. The offense does not score. They really didn't do much. What bringing Josh Bell is going to make a big difference in your offense? I don't think so. The biggest thing that could help Cleveland to win another division title is they need guys to live up to the expectation they've never really done. Rosario needs to play a little better. Miles Straw needs to show up. Stephen Kwan, he needs to be more than just a slap hitter. He's got to have more production, because the problem is Jose Ramirez is doing it all. And Jose Ramirez, I actually thought about making him my MVP for this year for the American League. The problem is they normally give it to the teams that are going to win, and I have my questions about the Cleveland Indians. So I'm going all in once again. I mentioned this earlier in the winter. I took a futures bet. I'm sticking with it. I know a lot of people are going to roll their eyes and say, "What are you, nuts?" I like the Minnesota Twins to win the Central. It's not going to be easy. And I think the winner of this division is going to be looking at probably 85 wins, 87 wins, somewhere in that neighborhood. And it's going to be a grind. But give me the team that has Sonny Gray, Joe Ryan, Pablo Lopez, Tyler Mahle, and Kenta Maeda going into this spring. They're pretty healthy. I'd like to see Jorge Polanco come back a little earlier. They're bringing back Carlos Correa, right? They've got some other good players, but I think the key to this team, other than the pitching staff staying healthy and Duran taking the next step of becoming an automatic-type close deal, Byron Buxton has got to stay healthy because he has MVP kind of talent. So that's what we're looking at going into. I mean, let's be honest. It's the biggest day in baseball is opening day, isn't it? I mean, it is the best day outside of the when October hits. No one does opening day better than Major League Baseball. Not the first weekend of the NFL. That's great. Whatever. Da 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 da. Thing is, it's not as big as it used to be because there's 14 games on. Opening day is just different. And people get excited. You get a pep in your step. You know spring and summer are here. That all starts tomorrow. So that's my American League Central. And then the AL West I'll be able to do a lot quicker because I don't think there's a lot of debate. I really don't. I know some guys on the show, we've been trying to talk you into different teams winning the division. First of all, the A's are going to be the bottom feeders. When Kyle Muller is your opening day starter, that's a problem. And I liked Kyle, but he doesn't have opening day starter resume at this point in his career. They've got some good young players, and I think they'll compete in a few years, but they're still 2 to 3 seasons away for me to even consider taking them as any kind of a dark horse. The number four team in that division, until they prove me differently, it's the Angels. I'm sorry, but the Angels, they waste all this money and never seem to bring anything in. And you can look at it and say, man, Otani, Sandoval, Anderson, Detmers, Jose Suarez, that's not a bad pitching staff. You can look around the bend and you know Otani's going to be your DH. You know Trout's going to be patrolling the outfield. You know Rendon, you know, is he going to get back to form? They brought in Gio Urshela. Their offense is okay. Their pitching staff is okay. And that means they're going to be about okay. But I think they'll fall somewhere just below the 500 mark, 78 to 80 wins. And it's going to be the same old thing. And when Otani takes off at free agency, you're going to start hearing some rumblings from Trout. Now he's going to complain that they don't have a team. But then again, he didn't hesitate to take that $468 million deal. And when you pay one guy that much, you're not going to be able to keep Otani. If you do, you're going to be absolutely hamstrung. When you pay one guy that much and you threw away the money on Rendon, I'm sorry, but this is where you are. All right, enough on the lowly Angels. We get to the interesting part of the division. I'm taking the Mariners to finish number three. And I get it, they won 90 games last year. And a lot of folks probably, it's not that they did anything wrong. I think they're actually going to be pretty good. And they're going to be competing for the wild card all year long. Castillo, Ray, Logan Gilbert, Kirby. That's a good 1-4 punch. I'm not big on Marco Gonzalez, but if your number five pitcher is your biggest concern, you'll be fine. But their bullpen is solid. It's not terrible, but it's also not something that you're really concerned with if you're the opposing team. You kind of figure if you can get into their bullpen, that's where the runs are going to come from. And their offense is pretty good. You know, you got Cal Raleigh who's coming along. Hoorod, he is my American League MVP. I'll go ahead and state that now. He is my American League MVP. I think Hoorod is going to be, and I'm not calling him J-Rod. I'm calling him Hoorod, baby. I think that's much better. I just think he's a generational type talent. And Suarez at the hot corner, he'll knock you in 30 home runs. But is that going to be enough to make up for the fact that their bullpen is not going to be what I would consider elite? So Castillo is going to have to – Castillo's got to go out and win almost every one of his games. Robbie Ray's got to be more of what he was 2 years ago. Logan Gilbert, who's solid, he's still a guy that's only going to go about five innings and give up around three runs. That's solid. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not going to lead you anywhere if your offense isn't top-notch, and I just don't think their offense is top-notch. So that takes me to my number two team in the AL West. It's the Texas Rangers. I love what they did in the offseason. If you're following the show, you know we've talked about it. DeGrom is my Cy Young winner in the American League this year. But Eovaldi has looked phenomenal in the spring. They're saying his fastball's up around 98. That's something. That's something. For a guy who's 33 years old, that's something. Martin Perez is automatic guy. He's going to go out there and get you a quality start and give you a chance. I love John Gray and what he's able to do. And then Andrew Heaney, that's your fifth starter. That's pretty darn good starting rotation. And Leclerc looks to be most likely their closer. That would be my biggest concern with the Rangers is will they get consistent closing from Leclerc, because you don't want Will Smith to end up there in the closing role. That could be a problem. But that offense, Semien, Seager, Garcia, that offense is going to bang. And then my number one team in the AL and the AL West, no surprise, it's the Houston Astros. Even with the injury to Altuve, I'm just not worried about it. I'm just not. I think they're going to end up being very good. And I think that they will get somewhere around, probably not quite the 106 mark, but shoot, 95 to 97 wins still going to win you that. And that's my American League division winners. And DeGrom, the Cy Young, Hoorod, the MVP, and Volpe is the Rookie of the Year. And so then what do I have in going for the wild cards? I talked about these teams. I like the Rays to make the wild card. I think Baltimore sneaks in, and I think the Texas Rangers sneak in. And I know that's going against the grain with what some people are at right now in their head, but to be honest with you, I think that that's where we're at. So who do I have winning the ALCS? I've got the New York Yankees beating the Houston Astros in the ALCS and finally getting over the hump. It's due. Eventually, when you go through this many Octobers, you're going to wear down. There's going to be something where, you know, they already got the injury bug with Altuve, but things don't go right that many years in a row. That's why it's so hard to repeat. So there you have that. What's the other question I got from Lane here? What do you think about the Yankees opening day weather tomorrow? I saw that it's, look, I mean, I really think that the Northeast team shouldn't be hosting opening day until like the second week of the season. You're going to run into these issues. Even in Washington, Atlanta's running into cold weather. Not supposed to be clear, but it's going to be cold weather. So, all right, we got to take a break. We're at the top of the hour. When we come back, the National League, and we're going to give you our World Series predictions as well. Keep it locked here on the Key and in Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Go out there and subscribe and like today, baby. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, the Key. In Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair. You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterback's Sports Flash. The bad news, there is no Major League Baseball this afternoon. The good news, opening day is tomorrow. Shift our attention over to the NBA. Heater at the Knicks at 7:30. Lakers and Bulls in Chicago at 8. ESPN's doubleheader begins at 7:30 with the Mavericks at the 76ers, finishing off with the Timberwolves at the Suns. Bucks are at the Pacers, Rockets at the Nets, and the Sacramento Kings travel to Portland to face the Trailblazers. On the ice, the TNT doubleheader, 7:30 Eastern, Islanders at the Caps. At 10, it's the Wild at the Avs. You do have the Panthers going to Toronto to face the Maple Leafs, 7:30 on the plus as well. Cleveland Guardians have signed infielder Andrés Giménez to a 7-year, $106 million extension. The deal also includes an option year. The Detroit Tigers have released infielder Cesar Hernandez, and the Chicago Cubs signed infielder Nico Hoerner to a 3-year, $35 million extension. The Penn State Nittany Lions are working towards a deal to hire VCU's head coach Mike Rhodes as the school's next head basketball coach in Happy Valley. Rhodes has yet to reveal his intentions officially to VCU, but it has been rumored on several outlets. VCU is widely regarded as the best job in the Atlantic 10. The Rams have reached the NCAA tournament in 3 of the past 4 seasons. Rhodes is 129-61 in 6 years at VCU. Calais Campbell signed a 1-year deal with the Atlanta Falcons. The defensive end has played for the Baltimore Ravens and Jacksonville Jaguars. Along with that move, signing Scotty Miller yesterday, wide receiver from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, to a 1-year deal. And Brandon Ayuk will stay in San Fran as they exercised a $14 million option for 2024. The 2023 Basketball Hall of Fame class, which will be inducted this summer on August 12th in Springfield, Massachusetts, will have the full class announced as a part of the NCAA Men's Final Four weekend in Houston coming up. Some of the players expected to get the nod: Paul Gasol, Dirk Nowitzki, Tony Parker, Greg Popovich, and Dwayne Wade. Other nominees that are awaiting announcement, former Phoenix Suns Tom Chambers, Los Angeles Laker Michael Cooper, Big Mark Eaton of the Utah Jazz, Florida State University head coach Leonard Hamilton, New York Knicks guard Mark Jackson, Raleigh Massimino, and Paul Westhead. And while NFL owners opted not to vote on a rule that would allow games to be flexed into Thursday night kickoff, they agreed Tuesday to modify the existing rule and allow teams to play a maximum of 2 short week games. That means while some teams could play 2 Thursday night games, others would not have any. Back-to-back Thursday night games, such as Thanksgiving followed by Thursday night the next week, would only count as 1 short week game. So teams could wind up playing 3 Thursday games in total. Brian Rolapp, the NFL Executive Vice President, Chief Media Business Officer, said, quote, "We're interested in making sure that we get exposure for all clubs. We also believe these national windows are for clubs that are playing well. We want to put the best teams in those windows," unquote. While the table proposal and subsequent modification on the final day of the league's annual meetings in Phoenix had support from a sizable number of clubs, others met with tepid reactions, and some were adamantly opposed, including Giants owner John Mara, who called the idea abusive. Mara said the owner's support for the proposal was close and said he's concerned a vote will come up again in the spring meetings in May and will pass. A flex game would be announced 15 days before the scheduled Thursday night kickoff or more. Mara said, quote, "At some point, can we please give some consideration to the people who are coming to our games? People make plans to go to these games weeks and months in advance. And 15 days ahead of time to say, sorry, folks, that game you were planning on taking the kids to Sunday at 1 is now a Thursday night game. What are we talking about?" Unquote. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell pushed back and said Mara's assertion that the practice would be abusive to fans, saying the league is trying to be balanced for the best interest of in-stadium fans along with those watching from home. Much of this came up after last season when Amazon Prime took over the Thursday night games and play-by-play man Al Michaels routinely complained about the matchup that he and Kirk Herbstreit were calling that night. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com/Braves Country.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Thursday, March 30th, it's opening day in Braves country. The Atlanta Braves travel to the Washington Nationals. First pitch, 1:05 Eastern. We'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves all season long, and it begins opening day. Make sure to tune in right here, Thursday, March 30th, 1:05 Eastern, opening day in Braves country on Braves Country HD.
Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Oh, hey, you know what I mean.
Too much?
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The all-American.
Welcome back as we are rolling here along on a, well, it's the day before opening day. No duller day in the world of sports. Let's go ahead and get into, now I'm pulling up because I saw the comment from one of our viewers talking about the weather for the Yankees tomorrow. And they don't have it listed here, but there's a site that you can go to check Major League Baseball. Oh, here it is. It says clear and cold. So, I mean, clear. If it's clear, you know, let's go. So clear and cold, I guess maybe it's some really cold weather. I can't imagine it's going to be much colder than what it's supposed to be in Boston. And I heard the Red Sox announcers say yesterday that their opening day was looking like something around in the 40s. So I can't imagine that it's much worse than that. Look, opening day in the Northeast, this is what you get. And it's really not the greatest thing in the world, but, you know, it's absolutely what you get. And you're going to get chilly weather. I can remember many opening days where it's even worse than that. It's snowing. Colorado's had games canceled. So I'm pulling up the New York weather as we speak to just double check what it's supposed to be tomorrow, because clear and cool at on that website. Basically, that website's to let you know for a betting standpoint if it's going to rain or whatnot. Looking at the New York forecast for tomorrow, man, I swear there are so many bells and whistles on weather.com now, it's almost impossible to navigate. It's like my least favorite app, but it's the one that always pops up when I start to let me see here. So the daily forecast, or let's go to the hourly forecast, the next 48 hours in New York City. It's not, what are they calling for? It's sunny. There's not supposed to be a cloud in the sky. Beautiful day for a ball game in the 40s. The wind around 8 miles an hour. I think, you know, that's really not that bad considering that part of the country. All right. So that's much to do about nothing. Let's go ahead and get back in to the Major League Baseball predictions for 2023. And really interested to see. Let me see here if we can get this going right in the right direction. They have all these new. Here we go. There you go. All right. So when we let off last hour, we were talking about the American League. We got that all bubble wrapped and ready to go. And now we get into the National League. And in the National League, I'm going to do the Braves division last, and then we'll do all the predictions past that. But the National League Central, last year, the Cardinals essentially ran away with it. They won by 7 games. They're 7 in front of Milwaukee, 19 in front of the Cubs. And I don't think the Cubs are going to be that bad this year, where they're just going to be 19 games out of first place. I also don't think St. Louis necessarily is going to have 93 wins. I think it's going to be more of a little regression by St. Louis to come back towards the pack. I still think they're going to get in the high 80s. But as far as the division goes, I didn't realize Pittsburgh and Cincinnati would flat-footed tie. They both had 100 losses and 62 wins last year. This year, I think Pittsburgh's a little better. I think Pittsburgh is going to get much closer to the 70-win mark. And though that may not sound great for some fans out there, they're building in the right direction. I really think that Pittsburgh has a core that is much stronger than Cincinnati. If you look at Cincinnati, at the Cincinnati Reds, I mean, their ownership group has essentially spit in their face and said, we're not going to go out and sign anyone free agent. We're going to build this through the draft. They will be a pretty formidable team in a few years, but until then, you're going out there to watch certain players play and you hope to win on any given night if you're a Reds fan. You have no belief, if you're a Reds fan, I don't care. I have the biggest Reds fan in the world. They don't think the Cincinnati Reds are going to go to the playoffs this year. But they do have some interesting players, and really what they have more than anything else, some good young arms. Did you see Graham Ashcraft struck out 10 guys in a spring training game late last week? And they've got a lot of high hopes for Luis Sessa, Nick Lodolo, who, by the way, he basically strikes out about 10 to 11 guys per nine. And then Hunter Green could be elite one day. But that's, I think you've got more big stars on the way from them than you do Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, obviously, O'Neill Cruz is the main guy that everybody wants to talk about. And Rosie Contreras, we watched him pitch a couple of times last year. Rosie Contreras could be that next ace that Pittsburgh ends up turning into more draft picks, because they never seem to re-sign anybody. But the rest of that pitching staff is awful. I just think Pittsburgh is going to score more with Ryan, with the Brian Reynolds and Cabrian Hayes. I almost said Ryan Reynolds. He could probably start for the Reds or the Pirates as well. G-Man Choi, I thought that was a good sign. They're bringing Andrew McCutchen back, and it's going to be cool because he's going to hit some career milestones back where it all started in Pittsburgh. So that's a cool feel-good story for him. But that team's not going to go out there and win a ton of games over 162-game schedule. So it really comes down to, where do you think the guys 1-3 through 1 finish? I still think the Cubs are number three in that division. But this year, I don't think it's by as big a margin. They were 12 games behind Milwaukee, 11 behind St. Louis. I think that gap closes quite a bit. Every Braves fan knows that Dansby Swanson went there. And Dansby Swanson by himself is going to make a difference. We know that. But they brought in some veterans to go with their youth. I also saw that they signed Nico Horner to an extension. Third base is a conundrum for me. I'm not sure about Edwin Rios. And Patrick Wisdom is a utility guy at this point. But Hosmer at first, Dansby at short, and Cody Bellinger up the middle and center. Trey Mancini is your DH. You've got some veterans, so you're going to have chances to win any game. I just don't think you put together enough wins. Jameson Taillon, to me, was a very good signing. I'm not sold on Marcus Stroman as being a number one, a number two, or maybe even a number three on a playoff contender. If the Cubs are going to turn the corner, it's going to be because Jameson Taillon comes in and pitches lights out, and Justin Steele is more consistent. But that bullpen has got some big holes and question marks, and I don't see them getting above the number two. Milwaukee Brewers are my number two team in this division, but it could be close. It could be a really close race. And at that point, the ball bounces the right way, injuries, whatever. When you've got Corbin Burns and you've got Brandon Woodruff and Freddie Peralta, a healthy Freddie Peralta for the first time in a long time, that's a hell of a 1-2-3 punch. That bullpen, we all know the Milwaukee bullpen. I always call them Tampa Bay North. That Milwaukee bullpen is very good, and they're going to score more runs this year. They added William Contreras behind the plate, and really what he does, I know he's going to be a little bit of a liability. Guys are going to run on him left and right, especially with the shorter base paths because of the bigger bases. But William Contreras will probably hit 30 home runs this year. And you got him, you got Willy Adames, Rowdy Tellez, Christian Yelich played a little better last year. I still don't think he's ever going to get back to where he was. They brought in Brian Anderson, who I think is a very underrated player from Miami. Jesse Winker. This offense is much more dangerous than it has been. Milwaukee is going to be a dangerous squad, and St. Louis better not come stumbling out the gates. I mean, we hope they do, because we've got a big series, the second series of the season in St. Louis. But St. Louis comes stumbling out the gates, they're going to be in trouble. But I do have St. Louis finding a way to winning that division. Look, Mikolas, Jordan Montgomery, Wainwright will be okay. But I think the biggest wild card of this team, and it's why I almost took Milwaukee to win this division, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's pitched pretty well this spring and he's been injury-free. Jack Flaherty's got to be Jack Flaherty of old. Sure, they added Wilson Contreras, excuse me. But Wilson Contreras is a good catcher and a good hitting catcher. But let's not make any mistake and think that he's going to go out and hit 50 bombs this year. But you got Goldschmidt. You've got Arenado. I'll be interested to see what they get out of Jordan Walker. He's a young kid. He's from Georgia. Stone Mountain, Georgia, I believe. And they've got high hopes for him and Lars Nootbaar and O'Neill. Carlson looks like he's going to be in more of a platoon situation. But that offense is going to score. And that Helsley, as much as we don't like him in Braves country, because of the stink that he made about the chop, he's still a really good closer. If they can get Jack Flaherty and Jordan Hicks back to where they should be, the Cardinals could not just be a force in the Central. They could be dangerous in the wild card. I mean, in the playoffs. And so now we look at who's going to win the West. I'll make this real short and sweet. When I look at the NL West, I think it's a little deeper than it has been in years past. And I think for the first time in a long time, the Los Angeles Dodgers will not make the playoffs. They did nothing in the offseason. Everyone kind of skates over it because they've just been so good. But I think that's going to be a stale locker room. Gonsolin's hurt. Noah Syndergaard is not going to be some resurrection project. I mean, do you know how bad it is? They've got Shelby Miller in their bullpen this year. You can say, well, I haven't heard from him in a while. Was he good last year? He had a 6.43 ERA and a 1.29 WHIP because some analytic dork in their front office said that they really liked the way he's delivering the ball. They went out and signed him. What? He was one of their first signings. All analytically driven. I'll never forget when that story came. I was like, what? We should have signed him so we could have traded him again for Dansby Swanson, if you remember Shelby Miller here with back in Braves country days. The next big question is how are they going to close these games? They got Brewster Gratterall penciled in as the closer. I'm not sold. So that's my biggest question there with the Dodgers. So I have Colorado pulling up the rear as always. I think Arizona is going to be a scary team. I just don't have the faith that they're going to do it all in 1 year, turn it that far around. So I do have Arizona coming in fourth. And then I've got Colorado in fifth and the Dodgers in third. They're like, wait a minute. Dodgers in third. San Francisco is going to finish and say, I think the San Francisco Giants are going to be that surprise team. They're going to be that surprise team. They had a bad year last year. There's no doubt about it. But they're just 2 years removed from a 107 win season. And something always seems to go wrong with San Diego. It seems to always be internal. Logan Webb, I expect to get back to the form that he was in. Sean Manaea, I believe, was a good signing. Alex Cobb is solid. Now, Ross Stripling, I'm not sold on, but Alex Wood will do Alex Wood type things. He'll be under the radar. He won't be on anyone's all-star team, but at the end of the season, he will have shown up. That bullpen is better with the Rogers brothers and Camilo Duvall, who is just flamethrower. That pitching staff is going to be very solid. They're going to score runs because they do a great job. Kapler and his crew do a great job of putting the best lineup out every day. They're very platoon driven. And some folks don't like that when you start to prognosticate, but I think you're going to get a bounce back from Michael Conforto. He's going to got a lot to prove. Jock Peterson's still there. The Yaz is still there. Brandon Crawford had a terrible year last year. I would assume he's going to have a much better year this year. And they've got players like Lamont Wade Jr. and Tyro Estrada that are on nobody's radar. Nobody wants them in fantasy. Nobody wants to buy their jerseys, but they are solid players. So I've got the Giants winning the division in a surprise in San Diego coming in second. And my wild card teams, we'll get to that on the other side of this because it involves the National League East, which we're doing next here on Braves Country. Keep it locked in here.
Are you listening to yourself?
I always listen to myself. It's one of the great joys of my life.
Armchair Quarterbacks Radio covers the whole SEC the whole season long.
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Jawan James.
Start of things. First quarter at the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville. And Walker kicks the ball. 35. Look out. He's past midfield and he's got a blocker. Cuts to the inside. Herschel Walker. There he goes again.
Straight up the middle. Touchdown. Delayed reaction, but Tebow got in.
Oh, jump pass.
How about that? Oh, my gosh. That looks like 1955. Holy cow. Are you kidding me?
Armchair.
SEC! SEC!
What does it take to break you? What does it take to break your focus because you get frustrated about what happened on the last play? What does it take to make you give in because it's hot outside or you're tired or you don't feel like running to the ball or giving effort or finishing the play like you should because of how you feel, whether you're a little bit hurt? What does it take to break you? It's going to be difficult because you're getting yourself ready to play an entire season at a high level. So everybody here has got to have a lot of mental toughness to be able to sustain what we do at a high level.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com. At Braves Country. All right. Ready for opening day? And let's get it. So real quick to go over what we've already mentioned earlier. These are the predictions for 2023. In the American League, the Cy Young winner, we got DeGrom. The MVP, we got Julio Rodriguez. American League Rookie of the Year, I like Volpe. In the AL East, we got the Yankees winning it all. We've got the Minnesota Twins winning the Central. The Astros winning the West. The wild cards, I've got Tampa Bay, Baltimore, and Texas. I know that might be a little bit out, thinking outside the bun, as they say. But I think there's a real chance that we get those teams, surprise teams. I don't think it's going to be as chalky as it has been in years past in some of these divisions. In the ALCS, I've got the Yankees beating the Astros, finally taking down their monster. It's hard to believe that the Yankees can't get over the hump, but they have not been able to get over the Astros hump. I think they do it finally. I would tend to believe that the New York Yankees this year are going to go all in at the trading deadline. We didn't see him do it last year. And the pressure's got to be building for Boone, everybody. And I really believe that you're going to get an all-in type of situation with the Yankees. So That was the American League. The National League, we had St. Louis win the Central. We've got San Francisco upsetting everybody and winning the NL West. I've got the Dodgers not even making the playoffs for the first time in a long time. I actually think it's going to be really refreshing for baseball fans not to see them in there. They did nothing to get better. I think they've gotten, I'm not going to say worse, they're just kind of stale, and I don't think they're going to be able to do it this year. So I told you when we came back, I was going to hit up the wild cards in the East. Let me go ahead and do the East first, and then we'll hit the wild cards in the National League. At the very bottom, I think it's really easy. And look, I know it's opening day and we're playing Washington in Washington. And the worst thing you can do is start talking trash about a team you're about to play. But I'm sorry, if you look at the roster of the Washington Nationals, it just doesn't jump off the page at you. Patrick Corbin has been a shell of his former self since 2019. Josiah Gray is still learning. There's still a big learning curve for Mackenzie Gore, who's never reached the point where they thought he was going to be. Trevor Williams would be in most teams' bullpen. Same with Chad Kuhl. Dominic Smith couldn't do anything in New York, and now he's in the starting lineup for the Nationals. This just tells you a lot of what's going on. I think the brightest side that you can say about the Nationals, first of all, they've gotten a lot of really good young players that are going to be on the way in a few years, all these trades they've made. So this is not, and this is a team that when they get to that point, they're going to have the resources to keep them. They just did a complete rebuild. They were an old team that had won a World Series, and they said this is a perfect time to rebuild, and it is what it is. It's rough if you're a fan of that team, but it's a grind. We saw it in Atlanta. It's hard to believe we've won five World Series in a row, because I swear it feels like it was yesterday that we had those terrible 3 years where we just weren't even nearly competitive. But Joey Meneses, if he can hit, and Lane Thomas to me is a really good player, those could be some fun spark plugs throughout the season for Washington, but I don't see them getting to 60 wins. It's going to be tough. I think it's pretty obvious to most folks that you got to put the Marlins in fourth. Though I think they've gotten a little better. Let me scroll. So, though I do believe that they've gotten a little better, I just don't know if it's going to be enough to overtake the three-headed monster in the AL East. And I like obviously Alcantara is elite, but Trevor Rogers has looked really good, really good in the spring. Johnny Cueto is going to eat innings, and Lizardo should be back to form. And I'll tell you what, Edward Cabrera could be a diamond in the rough. It looks like Braxton Garrett's going to start off in the bullpen, but there could be situation where they stretch him back out. Their pitching's going to be there, and they've got a solid bullpen. It's not great, but it's solid, especially on the back end. If the Marlins have a lead, they're going to have a really good back end of the bullpen. The middle of the bullpen is the biggest question mark. Matt Barnes, Rich Rod, they've seen better days. But that offense just won't be able to score enough to get them enough wins to compete for the division. I do think they're an outside dark horse for the wild card, but a lot of things got to go right. But that offense should be a little better. It sounds like they're going to put Jorge Soler in the number two slot this year. So that I think will help, but it's just on a night-in, night-out basis, I just don't know if they're going to be able to get enough. But I do think it's going to be a situation where they are, what did they win? They won 69 games this year, last year. They could improve by 10 wins, but still be far, far behind for the division. And so then we get to who finishes number three. I think it's the New York Mets. That Edwin Diaz injury is being scoffed at and overlooked by a lot of folks. And I really don't understand why. That's a major injury. That guy was absolutely like you. He came in the bullpen, out of the bullpen, and you'd hear that burp, 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 or you know whatever that the trumpets were that hit the played, and you're like, oh my god! I mean, it was like Enter Sandman from Mariano Rivera days, and he's gone, and you're gonna try to piece that together with David Robertson and Adam Ottavino, and they're good. They don't have that clutch closer gene. Robertson never had it. He's always been a pretty good closer. But you'll see him cough some up that'll just outrage you. I do think the starting pitching, Scherzer, Verlander, and Kodai Senga, really good. But the back end, not so much. Carlos Carrasco, he'll have one good outing every four times out. David Peterson, same situation. If a team has seen him twice in a year, they'll tattoo him. And I know they're waiting on a couple of guys to get back. But that's gonna be an issue. The bullpen, all in all, the bullpen's pretty good. And their offense, they don't score. Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor are doing their own thing. The rest of that offense is just anemic. Now, if they can get a healthy Starling Marte, that's going to help. I still think they finish third. And that takes us to the World Series representative last year of the National League. I think the Philadelphia Phillies are going to finish in second. I know some folks think that this is they're about to bet. That injury to Rhys Hoskins is an absolute killer. When you've already got Bryce Harper going to miss the first part of the season, you needed Rhys Hoskins to be in there putting up the big time numbers. And it didn't happen. It did not happen. I thought he would be healthy going into this year. It did not happen. I thought Bryce Harper, I thought his injury problems were over with until right after the World Series. I was like, well, he's having another surgery again, so here we go again. But Philly's gonna when they get Bryce Harper back, that's gonna make them a lot better. And I do think they'll make a move at the trading deadline to help their offense. They're gonna score runs. Biggest question you have with them is their bullpen, because Nola, Wheeler, Suarez is a little banged up, but Taijuan Walker, it's a pretty good starting pitching. That bullpen, I have got big question marks, and I think you're going to see them blow leads, but I think they're used to it now, and it's not going to be something that's going to cripple them. I think they'll continue to plow along and win ball games. I think they'll win enough games to get the second. I don't think the winner of the National League East has 101 wins this year. I'll tell you that much. I think it's like 95, 96 wins type of thing. And the Phillies will be right below Atlanta in the low 90s. And the Mets will be somewhere in the high 80s because of their issues of not scoring and not having Diaz. So that takes us to the Atlanta Braves. I've got them winning a sixth division in a row. And it's not just because we're Braves country. This team is loaded. And even with Kyle Wright going to the IL and Soroka starting the season off on the IL, you got Max Fried, Spencer Strider, Charlie Morton, Jared Schuster's looked great, and so has Dodd in the spring. Now, you still got to see them do it in real games. But that's going to be a big time. That's a deep pitching staff if Schuster and Dodd continue to pitch well. And let's not forget, not only will you have Wright coming back, it doesn't sound like he's going to miss many starts, and you should have Soroka at some point, fairly early in the season. But let's not forget, Ian Anderson's down there, and he's working on getting back right. And they've also got Bryce Elder doing the same. And there's got to be some real belief in Bryce Elder. If there wasn't, they never would have shipped off Kyle Muller. So that alone gives you about 9 really good pitchers, and you need at least that to get through the grind of a Major League Baseball season. The bullpen, Iglesias is going to be on the shelf for a couple weeks, but he should be okay. That bullpen is going to be elite. It's going to be one of the best bullpens in major leagues. Sometimes it takes a little while for the bullpen to really get clicking, but when they do, midsummer, I expect it to be bam, bam, bam. Good afternoon, good evening, good night. And so I've got the Atlanta Braves winning the East for the 6th year. And as far as the wild cards, I do think Philly and the Mets are going to have good enough records to get in the dance, even with the woes of the Mets bullpen. I still think they're going to win more games than a lot of teams in the National League. I can't get on board with all these, you know, super dark horses. So Philly and the Mets are in the wild card, and then my third wild card would be San Diego. And so that's what you have there. You have San Diego, Mets, and Philly. And then you've got the division winners. I know it's a bit of a stretch, but I like San Fran this year, the Cardinals and the Braves. In the NLCS, I think you're going to get an NL East showdown. And unless the Mets do some big things at the trade deadline, give me Atlanta versus Philadelphia in the NLCS, with Atlanta finding a way to get past them just because they have better pitching. And we already went over the American League. So that would have the Atlanta Braves and the New York Yankees squaring off once again in the World Series. And this time the Braves get their revenge. They win in 6, and the Atlanta Braves are your World Series champions. To cap off the National League, by the way, the NL MVP, if you haven't been paying attention this spring, Matt Olson is ripping the cover off the ball. He is absolutely ripping the cover off the ball. And Matt Olson, I think, is going to get the MVP. He's playing on that kind of level already. And he's in his second year. That was a lot of pressure to put on a guy. A lot of pressure to put on a guy. To come over in a trade, to fill Freddie Freeman's shoes, in his own hometown, by the way. And he never looked like he was really comfortable until we got about later in the season. And remember, he's the reason why the Braves beat the Mets, essentially, in that sweep in Atlanta right at the end of the season. He had a home run in every game. So I think that's a precursor to him winning the MVP. The Cy Young, he probably should have won Rookie of the Year, but I have no qualms about an everyday player getting it over a pitcher. But Spencer Strider is going to get the Cy Young. The guy is just, he's ridiculous. When you consider, if you have 9 to 10 strikeouts per 9 innings, that's considered elite. And he's out there throwing 11 to 12 strikeouts per 9. It's just, it's unreal. If he stays healthy, I don't see there's any way Spencer Strider doesn't win the Cy Young. And my National League Rookie of the Year, I think it's going to come out of St. Louis, Jordan Walker. I think Jordan Walker's got a very good opportunity to go out there and get the Rookie of the Year. He's going to be in a pretty big market. St. Louis is going to be on a winning team. That I'm telling you, that helps. And so there you have it. So to recap real quick, Braves win the East. Cardinals win the Central. I got the Giants bringing home the West. Philly, Mets, and Padres are the wild cards. In the American League, it's the Yankees, the Twins, and the Astros winning their divisions. Tampa Bay, Baltimore, and Texas, they get the wild card. Yankees beat the Astros in the ALCS. And the Braves beat the Phillies and knock out the Yankees in the World Series. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little college basketball as March Madness is upon us. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. Thursday, March 30th, it's opening day in Braves Country. The Atlanta Braves travel to the Washington Nationals. First pitch, 1:05 Eastern. We'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves all season long, and it begins opening day. Make sure to tune in right here, Thursday, March 30th, 1:05 Eastern, opening day in Braves Country on Braves Country HD.
Well, don't mind me. I'm just here to install this smoke detector.
Smoke detector? Does that detect any kind of smoke?
Long live the king.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
ACC football, covered like no other, here on the Armchair Quarterback.
Against the blitz, touchdown, Florida State! Rock Preston scores the touchdown, and now it's Bowden's decision, and he sends Mowry onto the field right away. Danny Cannell is the holder. Mowry touches. This game is over. A 31-31 tie. A 31-31 tie.
A deep throw by Lawrence. A lot of contact. Justin Ross broke free from it. He's down in the end zone. Touchdown, Clemson.
Justin Ross, a freshman wide receiver. Big, rangy. And Trevor Lawrence knows, throw it up against that single coverage. Give him a chance to make a play on a 50-50 ball.
If you're a fan of the ACC, pull up an armchair. You're home.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m. drive time on WQEE.
Bow body, bow body. What does the first B stand for?
What are we doing?
We're making acronyms. Okay, what does the first B stand for?
Business.
I like it. Business. Good, Kevin. All right, the O.
We need a new manager.
Welcome back. Getting you ready for opening day. Mañana. One of the biggest days in sports. 1 p.m. Eastern. 1:05 first pitch. We'll come on around 12:30 for our pregame show. WQEE is going to pick up the broadcast at 2 p.m. So probably around, I was about to say the third inning, but games nowadays, man, they're moving along. So we'll probably be about halfway through the game. If you do want to catch the whole broadcast, it's going to be on Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. And we'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play. We're doing over 100 games this year on Braves Country HD, and many of them will be right here on WQEE as well. We went over all the baseball to get you started. for the 2023 season. Now I'm going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to go into some basketball talk. We do have March Madness. Before we hit the big tournament, I do want to hit up the fact that tomorrow, I doubt we'll even be able to squeeze it in. But tomorrow night's the NIT championship. UAB's a two-point favorite against North Texas. If you haven't watched UAB play, they've got one of the most electric scorers in all of college basketball. And they're a fun team to watch. So if you just like basketball and you want to watch a fun team, watch UAB tomorrow night. I watched the game last night as we were getting done with our draft. Man, I was drafting late last night after the one that we put on YouTube. I got off there and Steven and I had did a best ball. And then after that, a buddy of mine wrote me into a draft, and I'm actually doing three. It's had three or four more tonight. I know of three. I'm not positive about the fourth one. So this is draft central for me with the fantasy baseball, but I won't talk your off about that. But anyways, I was up watching it while I was drafting, hanging out with the dogs. And my wife was like, I'm going to bed. This is ridiculous. I was like, it is ridiculous, but it's one of my favorite things in the world is fantasy baseball. And honestly, the drafts of the football and baseball to me are the most exciting part. If I could just draft all the time, it would be awesome. But I don't like the DFS as much as I like the season long. The season long to me is just so much better than DFS. But we're watching that. We're doing that, and I'm watching this game in UAB. I've kind of mentioned this kid a little bit, but Eric Gaines, if you have not watched him, and I did not realize it until last night when I looked him up, he's from Lithonia, Georgia. But this kid, 6'2 guard, he's a sophomore. I don't know if he's going to try to come out or if he's going to transfer or if he's staying where he's at. But this kid is fun to watch. He is so quick and so electric on the court. If you get a chance to watch that UAB game tomorrow night, UAB North Texas, and I'll go ahead and give you the lock. That's my lock for tonight because there is no game of interest to me tonight. I'm going to give you two locks. Give me UAB winning the NIT tomorrow night. And then I'm going to give you a season-long lock. The Braves are 8.5-1 odds to win the World Series. They're going to do it, baby. And I'm going to put some hay on it before it all unfolds, before the season starts tomorrow. I think they're going to bookend that 21 championship with a championship this year. But UAB, North Texas. North Texas won by the chair of the Ching Chin Chin. And the UAB game, it was ridiculous how bad that. I mean, I don't like to throw these accusations out, but you start wondering, like, if one of those refs had some money on Southern Utah. Because there was a play at the end where UAB is an absolute block. He got all ball, and there was a stiff arm to his gut by the shooter, and they called the foul on the defensive player. And it ended up being his fifth foul. He fouled out of the game. And it really made me wonder. I'm like, man, we're sitting in Vegas. It's something up. Because that was as dirty as they get. And it ended up extending the game. If it weren't for that call, UAB game's over. But it ends up going to overtime because of it. It was obnoxious how bad of a call that was. You see bad calls all the time, and you're like, oh, man, that guy really blew that. That one, you're like, wait a minute, man. This guy had all ball, swatted it. It was a great defensive play. And so when they go show the replay, I was like, man, maybe the guy saw something I didn't see. Oh, he saw something. Saw someone drop something on the ground and picked it up. Someone dropped their wallet on the ground and said, hey, We're going to need a foul call around these parts. All right. So enough of that. UAB, I think they're going to get the W. I seriously doubt we have a chance to get into it tomorrow. Because tomorrow we're going to come on. Pregame shows at 12:30. Basically a recap of all of the season predictions. If you missed any of that, it'll be on Braves Country HD. First pitch, 1:00. And when the game ends, we'll continue on with the show. So Braves Country Baseball will turn into Braves Country today. And the guys will be with me tomorrow, and we'll be reacting to opening day, looking at some of the games that night. There's a lot of really good pitching matchups. And the Braves game will be ending just about the time that the a couple of really good pitching matchups are starting tomorrow. You know, the Mets are going to have Scherzer and Marlins, the Cy Young winner, Sandy Alcantara. They go head-to-head. But at the same time that game is going on, you're going to have DeGrom versus Nola. I mean, there's some great games. All right, so Saturday night is the national championship game, the Final Four leading to the national championship game. UConn is a 5.5-point favorite. I'm really surprised that line has not moved. I really thought that number would continue to climb. UConn has been blowing everybody out, and it's been a good run that the Hurricanes have been on. I just don't see how they're going to make it competitive. In many instances, I would be really nervous being a non-Hurricane fan, not wanting to see them win. But I'm telling you, if you're a Miami fan, just look at that game Saturday night as icing. Anything you can get out of that, if you can make it close and lose, what a great run. Now, if you win, then look out. But I don't see how UConn is going to go from playing the best basketball we have seen in the tournament, game in and game out, to all of a sudden just not. Oh, and now I know it's going to happen. Because one of the guys on CBS Sports HQ that's always wrong about everything, he's picking Hurricanes to win the national championship. Oh, give me. God, it's a wrap. So now I know UConn's going to roll. The early game to me is the game to see. Florida Atlantic and San Diego State. That is going to be one of the better games that we'll get all March. I'm still leaning with San Diego State in that game. I'm pulling for FAU because I feel like I should. But San Diego State's been a great story as well. The great thing about this, if you've been watching this and you see these low seeds, so we got 2 5s, a 9, and a 4, right? And in other years, when you see these lower seeds, you'd think that they would have some really suspect records. Man, every one of these teams is right there. I mean, UConn and Miami both have 29 wins. San Diego State's got 31. FAU's got 35. And just because you don't respect the regular season that you think you saw from them doesn't mean that the winner of this Final Four is not a legitimate national championship. I mean, this is exciting. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm so glad that the Braves game is the early 4:00 on Saturday. And that we're not out west somewhere or something and competing with the national championship game. We're going to do the game Saturday. And then once that's over with, I should get done with that around sometime in the first half of the early game. And then I'm going to get ready to finish watching that and then get the tail end of the Miami UConn game. But a big weekend of sports. It all starts tomorrow. Thursday is going to start your weekend, because when opening day is on a Thursday, that starts the weekend. And tomorrow, next time I see you, we're going to be going pitch for pitch in real baseball that counts. Braves, Nationals, right here all year long. Braves Country HD, WQEE partnership there, and then Braves Country Baseball. And then, of course, Braves Country Today. Every day we go 3 to 5, so we'll be reacting to the season. I'm so ready for the season to start. The grind is over. Spring training is over. All right, let's go ahead and bounce out of here. Keep it locked in here on the key. We'll see you manana, 1 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock WQE is going to pick us up. First pitch, 105, Braves versus the Nationals. Let's go, baby. Have a great rest. Hey, watch whatever you're going to watch tonight, because it's all sports the rest of the summer.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Hey!
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Thursday, March 30th, it's opening day in Braves country. The Atlanta Braves travel to the Washington Nationals. First pitch, 105 Eastern. We'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves all season long, and it begins opening day. Make sure to tune in right here, Thursday, March 30th, 105 Eastern, opening day in Braves country on Braves Country HD.